Welcome to the Cemetery Chronicles. Hosted by two friends who manage cemeteries in the Twin Cities, this podcast takes you behind the gates and into the unique world of cemeteries. Join us as we share heartfelt stories, unexpected humor, and the profound moments that come with a career dedicated to honoring life and legacy. From the Paradise Picture Studio, here are your hosts, Dominic Pierre and Bobby Schoenrock.
All right, Bobby, here we are, episode number 5 of the Cemetery Chronicles. We're going to try it this week. We're going to do a little video so people can watch us on YouTube, possibly, if you want to.
And
because,
I don't know if you
want to watch. Why? Because you're in Florida, and I'm here in Minnesota. How's it going, Don, down there in Florida?
I am in Florida. It was a little rainy today, but other than that, it wasn't too bad. Better than all the snow you were getting.
Yeah, it's exactly. I'm like, cry me a river, dude. We just got done with a foot of snow last night. Literally, 10 to 12 inches of snow, of pure concrete wet snow last night here where we are in St. Paul. But it was, I guess it was pretty narrow band, because if you go to the Northwest Metro of the Twin Cities, they only got 2 to 3 inches. And us down in St. Paul and in the southeast side of the state got walloped with quite a bit of snow. So it was kind of a fun little spring storm.
Yeah.
And trust me, I was thinking of you the whole time, Bobby.
So funny thing is that, like I said, the weather wasn't spectacular here, but my sister lives in St. Cloud, and she peeked at her cameras outside, and they had like a little over a dusting.
Oh, I believe
yeah.
it. It's crazy. That's what they said. The gradient was just so tight. It just dropped off.
Yeah.
But you're gonna have fun when you come back here. There's a lot of snow on the ground. Hopefully your crew wasn't calling you all day, going, "Where the heck are you? I wish you were here. We needed you."
No, they were busy plowing and shoveling snow.
That's all. You remember it was a couple podcasts ago. We were talking about snowfall, and it seemed like snow was happening every Friday night, and we'd have to go in on Saturdays to go plow. Well, at least this one happened during the week, so
yeah,
I can't complain about that.
At least you were there and needed to be there anyway, so you might as well remove some snow.
yeah, exactly.
Well,
so anyways, well, this week I figured we'd chat about, we kind of talked about this, we'd chat about some questions that we've gotten from some listeners, and also kind of how to manage a cemetery or take vacations and still how, you know, like the situation you're in, how to manage a cemetery while on the road and things like that. And then also having freak snowstorms like we did last night and how to manage that in not freak, but big spring snowstorms and how managing that. So kind of a few things to go over today. So how does that sound?
Yeah, it sounds great to me. I mean, I can pop off right away on how do you run a cemetery when you're on vacation and you have a small crew. We actually were fortunate to borrow one of Dominic's guys for a little help the other day. We had a busy day. You know how it works when everyone's there, no one's on vacation, you're not very busy, but then as soon as someone takes vacation, you get super busy. So it was a lot different than what I had hoped for when we went on vacation. I was hoping it to be really quiet, no funerals.
Yep.
But that's not how the world works. So,
yeah, you guys had a really busy Monday when we sent a guy over to help, and then all of a sudden all this snow here on Wednesday. Hopefully, it slows down for you the rest of the week. I don't know. You probably don't even know.
I do. I get the calendar updates, and it is not slowing down. We had a couple on Tuesday. The snowfall today. We have one tomorrow. I think there's one Friday, and then we've got like 3 or 4 more for next week already.
Yeah.
So it's kind of wild again.
So you're going to, when you get back and you're going to get right into the heart of it, you're going to get right back in and excitement right away, huh?
Yeah, that's kind of how it works. I mean, again, fortunate that we have some great employees that we can count on when we're not there. But you know, sometimes it's just too much for 2 to 3 people to handle.
Sometimes
you just have to be able to ask for some help. I mean,
yeah,
there's just not much you can do about it.
Well, this is where it comes in so handy. It's so nice to have good relationships with the local cemeteries that are near you. I mean, I know there's probably some rural cemeteries that don't have that luxury of having a cemetery that's so close to them that you can have a good relationship with. But obviously, you and I get along very well. We're you know, friends from a long time ago, and so when either of us need help, we're not afraid to shoot help over to each other. This is not the first, nor will it be the last time where we've you know, lent equipment to each other or even employees. And actually, it was a really fun opportunity, I think, for my head's groundskeeper who went over to help you guys that Monday. And he was pretty excited about it, just the opportunity to get to meet guys who do the same job he does outside our cemetery. He gets to go see a different operation, how they do it, and build some relationships there. And yeah, he said at the end of the day they were leaving, and it was kind of one of those sad goodbyes, like, am I ever going to see you again, you know? So,
yeah.
So he had fun. They said he said it was a busy day, but got everything done and no problem. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I even called over in the middle of the day to see if you guys needed any more help over there. And they said, oh, you're so kind. Josie called and said, she'd give a shout out to Josie because I know she's probably listening. That was the first thing she said, oh my gosh, I'm talking to a celebrity, Dominic. You're a podcast. Josie, be quiet.
So, yeah, I mean, that was huge to have, your guy come over and help. And again, it's not that I don't trust the guys that work for me. It's that sometimes two is just not enough.
No,
you need that extra hand, and it just makes things go a little quicker. When you're that busy and you're filling graves in front of families, there's just not much you can do about it. So you have to have some way to combat it, and being able to have that third person. Now, they could have done it with two, no problem. Just would have taken longer. They would have had to work a little harder. Again, I trust those guys to do it with two, but if I can have someone help them, why not?
You're risking injury, possibly exhaustion. I mean, on a Monday especially, I mean, you're going to start out the week with working that hard and then also having busy days after that. It's not worth it.
No.
To push them so hard that early on. So
no.
Definitely. And like I said, it's not a problem. It's fun. It's nice to be able to have relationships like that so that you can ask for help and people will send help your way. So that's a fun thing to do. And like I said, it's a good opportunity for my employees, especially, and probably your employees too, to see how, you know, bounce ideas off each other. I mean, we do that all the time when we talk on the phone or even with these podcasts. We talk about how I operate versus you operate and you get some good ideas. And so it's kind of fun to see, have your employees have that kind of same opportunity to do that with their counterparts at a different cemetery.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically like what we're doing right now, right? You know,
yeah.
Talking and talking about what we do and how we do it and the different ways to do things. And, you know, again, we all think that our way is the only way, but it's not. You know, there are many different ways to do it. And so it was nice to have the help. The guys are still busier than busy while we're gone down here. And then they got hit with the snow today. So, I mean, I think that maybe they punished us a little bit today because we had some rain and some clouds here in Florida.
Okay.
So, you know, they were kind of punishing us, just not as much as you guys got punished.
I don't want to hear it, Bobby. Stop that. You know, I hope you don't mind. Apparently my guy, when he was over there, wore all his Union Cemetery stuff. So
promoting self-promotion.
Yes, exactly.
I like
confusing all the funeral directors who were out wondering why are you here? So that was kind of fun. But yeah, so what does it look like when you come back? Is it all of a sudden you land on the plane and you have all these emails to tend to, or do you try to take a little breather and take care of everything once you get in the office on Monday?
I think I'll wait till Monday. I went in Saturday. I had pushed my flight back. My daughter was in the region hockey tournament and her team did pretty well, made it just short of making the state tournament. And I coached that team. And so we actually pushed our flight back a day and a half. And everybody had flown here. And I went in Saturday in between a couple of her games and tried to button everything up I could, make sure that any email stuff was done. And then most of the other stuff will just, you know, there's only so much hours in the day.
Yeah.
You know, and think, you know, as well as I do, my dad's not the best at taking time off of work. So I don't want him to go in there until at least Monday.
Yeah, I understand. Well, what does it look like now? Tell me, what does it look like for you now that you're down in Florida? Are you monitoring emails via phone? Are you trying to stay away from as much as possible?
Stay away as much as possible. Had to clean up a couple things that we needed to do, as far as some accounting stuff that needed to get finished up here for this week. So I had to kind of do a little bit of stuff on Monday, but you know, we just don't get away that often, and especially my dad doesn't get away enough. So I prefer to have it that we try to stay away as much as possible and not take phone calls, just enjoy our time. Again, my family, you know, we all come down here and we don't do this very often, and my dad doesn't take a lot of time off of work. So when we can all be together for multiple days at a time, when my sisters and their kids, they're all in heavily into sports and school stuff. So we're pretty busy as a group. So when we can have a full week of where everyone can just hang out, play together, and we can do fun things and do dinners, and went to a fancy dinner last night. And my daughter's birthday is Friday, so they sang her happy birthday and stuff. So it was a good time.
That's good. That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, yeah. And this is something now that has changed in recently too, where 10, 15 years ago, there are certain things that just couldn't be done while you're on the road, but you can actually do some work on the road, payroll, things like that, that, you know, there might not be employees that can do that back at, especially with small business. You're the only one that can do payroll. And I've done this many times where I'm at a cabin or something like that, and payroll's due, and I can submit payroll. It takes, you know, 15 minutes. Obviously, if you're not doing the QuickBook reporting and things like that, just a quick payroll, make sure everybody gets paid. And then when you get back in the office, you know, document your journal entries and everything like that. But you can do these things with a phone, with a cell phone now, which is kind of nice. If there's certain things that need to get done that you can only do that somebody else might not be able to do on the office.
Yeah, and that's
which is nice.
That's the nice part. Like I'm on a laptop right now. I can log right into our payroll if I need to do that. Fortunately, it was last week, so I didn't have to worry about it for this week. But if I did, it wouldn't be a big deal. So.
Yeah, and even look at you. I mean, you're talking about how you can monitor the cemetery via cameras. You're down in Florida, and you're monitoring your cemetery, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, and not so much monitoring the workers, just like, holy cow, look at all the snow. Oh, they're not right. It's not going to snow that much. And then I looked at it at, you know, we're an hour ahead here. So I looked at it at about 11 o'clock last night because we were watching the Wild game down here in the theater room. And I look at the screen thinking, well, it's not going to snow that much. And I'm like, oh, there's a lot of snow already. And it was blowing pretty good. And
Yeah. It was a crazy night last night. But yeah, you're exactly right. That's the fun things that you can do on vacation. Obviously, it's a double-edged sword. I mean, 10, 15 years ago when you didn't have the technology to do that stuff, you could really unplug and really get away. However, you kind of monitor it a little bit here and there, but it also is very nice and convenient to be able to do that kind of thing. So that's the nice part about being on vacation now.
Yeah. I mean, it's, super good because like you said, I'm able to log in. I can check a camera. If they need to get in touch, if I need to send an email, I can. Prefer not to, because again, you know, we don't get away too often. We need to change. I mean, you know as well as I do that you need the time off. Sometimes it just doesn't work that way.
Yeah, and I try to preach to my employees too. When you take time off, get away. I mean, don't look at your emails. Don't worry about anything. And everybody's, I mean, I have great staff as like you do too. And they all tell you, you know, hey, if you need me, just give me a call. And that's the last thing I want to do is call an employee when they're on vacation, because that's your time to recharge, energize, and just not think of work. You deserve time to be able to get away and not have to think of work.
Yeah. I mean, we all still have to live our lives, right? And we can't center it around work as much as we all do.
Yeah.
But,
and that's, I mean, that's a challenge with any, I mean, just because we are a small business, like a cemetery is a small business. It is difficult to be able to pull yourself away because there's so many hats you wear. And you're just nervous that something's not going to get covered while you're away. So you're always kind of concerned about something. So, but I think it's very, very important to really just pull yourself away and not worry about anything.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, I think it goes back to what we talked about where we put people in place. You know, my goal when I hire someone full time is to try to teach them everything that I know and everything that I can do to help make my job easier. And yep. to get them doing more things and make them more confident. And again, with the group we have, I have such confidence in them that when we go away like this, if this was 5 or 10 years ago, you know, wouldn't be quite as confident as we are now. You know, with my foreman and the guy who runs our grounds, I have all the confidence in the world that he can do everything, no problem.
Yeah.
And even if he can't, he will figure a way, you know, he will avoid calling as much as possible because he knows the same thing that when he goes on vacation, last thing he wants to do is get a phone call or think about work or any of that stuff. So.
Yeah, no, exactly. And also besides that, I mean, it seems like, you know, you think about our jobs and what we do. That everything is so pressing, you know, and you want to make sure everything's perfect for the family. You're right. Our guys, our staff knows how to do that. Knows how to make a funeral run, knows how to dig a grave, knows how to do all these things. Everything else besides that, you know, if something screwed up, let's say there's a sale in the office and, you know, there was an accounting error and they charged $100 too less for something or, you know, or something. It's not the end of the world. You know, we'll survive that. That's not a big deal. It'll be a teaching, it'll be a learning opportunity. But oh well, you know, I was on vacation and everything ran fine. And there was a learning opportunity because something here didn't go right. And you just work with that employee when you get back and don't scold or nag or anything like that. Just like, oh, okay, well, this didn't go exactly the way it would have happened, you know, if I was here, but it's all right. I'll explain why I do it this way and hear them out why they did it their way.
Yeah. But things get done and that's the main goal, right? Like you said, we've said it before in previous podcasts is that you want things to get done. You want families to not know when there is a mistake. The goal is to get them in and out of there. And they said, wow, that was, you know, everything went as planned, even though, you know, a lot of the times it doesn't go as planned.
Yep. Exactly. Now, did you guys have any funerals today with the snow? Do you know?
No, none today. So they got the day off on just a lot of plowing.
Well, I mean, that was convenient timing because same thing with us. We didn't have any funerals today either. So it was just pure plowing. But we can kind of go over that when it does snow like this and you do have several funerals. How do you manage that, Bobby?
It's tough. You know how it is. That 8 o'clock start all of a sudden turns into 6 o'clock a.m.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to get in and you have to plow the roads, but not only plow the roads, you have to clean out where the funeral is. And we have sidewalks. We have sidewalks that go all around our cemetery that we have to maintain. We have our niche and garden mausoleum that we need to clean all the sidewalks off there. We have a chapel that we have to clean sidewalks off. A lot of that stuff gets put on the back burner.
Yeah.
Funeral comes first, roads and getting the funeral ready. And then whenever you have time to get to the rest of it, we get to the rest of it. But the main job is to get the roads plowed, opened, funeral opened up. We leave dirt piles, so dirt piles shoveled off. Everything cleaned up and ready to go so that, like, again, when the family comes, it's like it never snowed there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, I think on busy days, especially when snow comes like this and you have multiple funerals and it's a busy day, my go-to is always to have just a quick meeting right away in the morning with all your staff. What's our game plan? So we're all on the same page. Here's our priorities. Priority number one is to get this route plowed at the cemetery, get the funeral cleared off here, and then keep on going down the list so that once one thing is checked off, you just keep on going down that list so everybody knows what to do next. Somebody isn't working on something that's a minor priority where there's a larger priority in front of it. Everybody's on the same page and it gets completed. That's the way we kind of operate. And I assume you do something very similar.
Yeah, a big thing I try to do is when we see snow in the forecast, we have funerals up. It's right at the end of the day, we chat, we make sure plows are ready, snow blowers ready, all that stuff is ready to go. And then it's like, hey, right now we'll plan on coming in, you know, normal 7:45, whatever. But if you get a text from me, we're going to come in early. Can everybody make it? Are we good coming in early? You know, just so everybody's on the same page. So there's not a big surprise. Yeah. And with the guys that we have, it's usually never a surprise. You know, everybody kind of knows what's going to happen, especially if you have a 10 a.m. funeral and you just got 10 inches of snow. There's no surprise there. It needs to get pushed out of the way and we need to be prepared for it. So,
yeah, exactly. And when you do have those large snowfalls like we did here last night, and then you have a burial right away in the morning, families are actually, what I've found, are pretty amazed that we actually have the cemetery prepared as well as it is for that funeral, because I think they barely have their driveway shoveled out, and yet the cemetery's plowed at least to where their gravesite is. The gravesite is snowblowed off, brushed off. No one's trampling through a lot of snow. They're usually pretty amazed by that, but that's our job. We want to make sure that it's right for them.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, I can remember back a few years back, we had a Saturday funeral where we got that. It was about, it had to have been about probably 15 years ago. We got about a 18 inch snowfall and they were coming from kind of north of the metro, maybe North Branch or so. And it got to a point where we were plowing the street outside just so they could get to the cemetery. And then we kept the person plowing while the funeral was going out because it was coming down so hard so they could get back out of the cemetery.
Isn't that crazy?
Weirdest thing ever. The snow plows weren't even going on the roads anymore. And here we are plowing the street outside just so that they could make it in. But it's kind of, again, what you have to do when we can't really just postpone things. And they had family fly in, and I mean, this just had to be done. And on this,
no, absolutely. Yeah. Now if you, cause obviously folks are planning funerals, not fairly far in advance, but they are a little bit more in advance, 2 or 3 weeks now sometimes. If you were to get a call on a Friday before a Saturday burial like that, because now the storm is kind of guaranteed to happen, and it looks like we're going to get 10, 12 inches, and a family calls and says, hey, can we postpone this till Monday? What would your reaction be?
I'd be okay with it. As long as we had the time Monday for them to get in there, which normally we can make some time at some point. We've had that in the past. You know, and then what normally happens is that Saturday comes and you get a half inch of snow. You know,
that's
you don't
exactly
get the 10 inches you're supposed to get. But if they would have came, you know that you would have got 10 inches of snow and it would have been a mess. Yeah. So it was probably for the best, no matter which way it turned out, that they decided to go another day. But we as a cemetery aren't going to say, well, you can't come because it snowed a lot.
No, exactly. It's not going to be us that cancels it. It'll be them calling us saying, hey, we can't come in.
Yeah.
That's how it'll work. Yeah. It'll never be, hopefully, I mean, knock on wood, hopefully it'd never be us. That would be a nightmare scenario for me, is where we couldn't fulfill our obligations that we said that we'd be able to have a hole ready or a burial ready for a certain time on a certain date. Hell or high water, I guess we'll make it happen.
Yeah, that's kind of how it works. Right?
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, even we talked about this last week and how, you know, there's sometimes you even have to, you can't have the vault in the hole, or you have to do a setup outside of where the burial is, but you make the funeral happen.
Yeah.
You make it happen for the family.
Yeah. I mean, we've said it before in previous podcasts is, and we know people, you know, to the north of us and to the west of us and to the east of us, everyone has challenges one way or another, whether it's snow, whether it's wind, whether it's something, there's always a challenge that you have to overcome. And if you're not willing to overcome that challenge, then, you know, what are we doing?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, you know, it goes back to that. Like I said, that person shows up and forgot to make that order, right? What are we doing? How are we serving these people if we're not willing to go the extra mile to get it done?
Yeah, exactly. Now that you're in Florida, are you going around and visiting some cemeteries down there and looking at what kind of winter challenges they have down in Florida?
I haven't. There is one that's not far from the resort we stay at, and it's just like dirt. I mean, there's a few monuments out in the middle of nowhere, and this is kind of dirt. Definitely don't have challenges like we do as far as, you know, the snow goes, but like a day like today, you know, a Florida rain comes fast, comes hard, and then it's done. And then it's humid, and then it's cool, then it's hot, and then it rains a little bit again. And then, you know, so it's kind of a different challenges than what we would face.
Yeah, I mean, that would be difficult to plan burials knowing that almost on a daily basis at a certain time you're going to probably have a deluge of rain. just can't pinpoint exactly what time that's going to be. I mean, it could be sunny when you wake up in the morning and sunny when you leave work at 4, you know, at the afternoon. But, you know, at 10 o'clock, all of a sudden it's deluging out. Do you set up a tent? Do you do these things? I mean, there's a lot of different challenges I'm sure they face that we don't.
Yeah, for sure, 100%. Down here is different. I don't know what it is. Everybody just kind of moves at their own pace in Florida. you know, nothing against people in Florida. They just move kind of at their own pace where, you know, I noticed kind of Midwest, Minnesota people just are kind of always going no matter what, you know, kind of always seem like we're just go. Down here is a little different. Traffic is horrible down here.
Oh, really?
Because we're not far from Disney. So it just seems like no matter which way you look, there's always traffic.
Oh, really? Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. So, and I thought rush hour was bad coming from, you know, like into St. Paul. It's nothing compared to some of the traffic down here.
It makes you'll appreciate your commute when you get back, huh?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so put it this way, we were down here last year and for my daughter's birthday again, and she wanted some Chinese food, and the restaurant was 5 miles away, and it was a 40-minute drive to get there.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yep.
Isn't that what they say us in the Midwest? We always time things. Like, we don't say by miles, we say by how much time.
Yeah.
Oh, that's only 5 minutes away. Well, yeah. There's definitely different parts of the country where you can't say that.
Yeah.
You have to give it by mileage.
Well, I couldn't imagine. Like, my daughter was playing hockey in Minneapolis, Golden Valley area over the weekend, and it was 30-minute drive, and there's a little traffic, so it was 40 minutes. I mean, that's nothing.
Yeah, that is nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
That is nothing.
Nothing like what you see down here.
Well, should we, before we take a little break here, Bobby, we are excited. We talked about this last week a little bit, but we have a sponsor, which we're excited about, and we get to introduce them here right now before we take a little break. Paradise Pictures is sponsoring this podcast, and Bobby and I chatted about this a little bit last week. Both Bobby and I use Paradise Pictures, and we're, to be honest, I don't think we would sponsor anything on this podcast that we don't personally use and personally, you know, kind of guarantee to our listeners. And what's great about Paradise Pictures, with the ceramic photos that they offer, you can sell these at the cemetery level for niches, for columbariums. You can put them on yourself. It's an extra revenue source for you for cemeteries. They also have frames that can go on these photos, many different styles of frames. But they're also 100% lifetime warranty on these photos, these ceramic photos. Anything goes wrong, a photo cracks, anything, they're going to make a new photo for you and send it out. And you can, so you can give that guarantee to your customers. What's your experience with Paradise Pictures,
yeah,
Bobby?
Paradise has been just short of amazing, I think, for us. We put so many color photos on, especially with our monument company that we have. So many photos go on nowadays. And the best part about them is they work with you. Say you want a little size that they don't have, they can custom make a size for you. You want to get rid of a background, they can get rid of the background and still make it look like a nice photo. They really put some time and effort into you. You don't feel like you are a third wheel trying to order these from someone and you're not getting any responses. We've had such great job with their customer service. If we have a problem, you can review the photos, a proof, and they'll constantly remind you, hey, we sent you a proof. Is it approved yet? What do we need to do? Do we need to change it? Do we want to switch it? You know, sometimes it'll be where I sent an order in and then my dad sent an order in. And then they're like, hey, we have the same picture, but two different orders for it. You know, and they'll let us know that, which, you know, not a lot of companies catch that all the time. So Paradise Pictures has been amazing to work with, and they do such a great job. And again, like what you said with niche fronts, we've put them on ours. Obviously, they have to be very small to go on a niche cover, and they have the small ones and they still look great. The big ones, they still look great. They've done a really nice job at what they do with the pictures, and they've really been good to us.
Well, perfect. We are so excited to have Paradise Pictures on board with us. So here you'll be hearing more about Paradise Pictures, and also look in the comment description below the podcast or below this video, and you can find some contact information for him. We're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be back in just a second. All right, well, welcome back from the break here. Hopefully you were able to get a little refreshment there, Bobby.
Well, I've had them the whole time.
I figured this podcast might be a little bit more fun since you're on vacation. You're probably a few in. I'm up here maintaining the fort. And, oh, that was the other thing you may have heard when we started the podcast here. We're coming – well, I'm coming from the Paradise Pictures studio. You're down in the Florida studio, but I'm in the Paradise – our studio is now named the Paradise Pictures studio, which I enjoy. So I should this is my basement. I should get a nice sign behind me, Paradise Pictures Studio. We'll rename that a neon sign. I wonder if my wife would think of that down here in the basement.
I like it.
But anyway, so we figured we'd chat about some questions that we've gotten from listeners, and also the kind of common questions that we hear being on the board of the Minnesota Association of Cemeteries and hearing from other folks there, and kind of just talking about that. So I suppose just being a little bit of a larger cemetery in Minnesota, I assume you get quite a bit of phone calls from people who are looking for other Oakland cemeteries anywhere in the nation. And how do you kind of handle those conversations with folks, especially when they're upset because they're looking for somebody and you don't have them in your records, and then they finally realize that they're talking to the wrong cemetery.
Yeah, there's actually a few other Oakland cemeteries in Minnesota, so we do get some questions, and they're smaller cemeteries, so we get to hear about, you know, why are you not open today, or why didn't you answer when we called earlier, and stuff like that. And so they're kind of hard questions sometimes because you're trying to be gentle with the people because they're upset, but it has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
So you have to try to answer them the best you can. A lot of times we're like, well, are you looking for Oakland Cemetery, St. Paul? And they said, well, no, you know, Oakland Cemetery, whatever. And you're like, well, that's not us. Well, you're affiliated. Well, no, we're not.
Yeah.
Actually, they're their own cemetery. Well, why isn't anyone answering? I'm not sure. You're going to have to try to get a hold of them that way, or call a funeral home in the area and see if they have a different contact number for who you're looking for.
Yeah.
Because that can be the problem, because the other Oakland cemeteries aren't a part of our Minnesota Association of Cemeteries. So we don't have their contact information of all the people. You know, we'll jump on Google and see if we can try to find someone to contact. But sometimes it's not that easy to find people. So you do have to call a funeral home in the area and say, do you have a contact information for the cemetery that's right by you? I know it's a small cemetery, but we have somebody looking for someone.
Yeah, no, that's exactly. And that's the number one question I get from just customers out there. They'll reach out to the Minnesota Association of Cemeteries because they're trying to find a cemetery and they can't get a hold of them. So they reach out to us, assuming we'd have some kind of contact. And I can't tell you how many times that's my classic response, exactly that. Contact a local funeral home, because that funeral home most likely has to have some kind of contact information for that cemetery, because they have to be able to contact somebody when they have to open a grave. So they should have somebody's contact information there. So that's my classic response to anybody when they come in about that. And maybe you are, if you're listening, maybe you are that small cemetery and you like to be obscure and you like to have your customers calling the larger cemetery like Bobby and having them talk for you.
Yeah, it can be a little daunting when you have someone screaming at you and you don't know anything about it. And you're trying to figure out what they're talking about, or, you know, they're talking to you about a burial you had last week and you're going, well, we had five, and you're not giving me the name of anyone that we had.
So I know.
Are you sure it wasn't 2 weeks ago or last year? And
that's right.
Then it turns out it wasn't even the right place.
Yeah. You're like pulling your hair out and you're getting nervous there for a while because you're like, oh my gosh, they're angry. And I'm trying to figure out why they're angry. And maybe it is on me because I don't know what they're even talking about. How did I let the ball drop this bad where I don't even know what they're talking about? And then the sigh of relief when you find out it's not your fault. It's somebody else that they're talking about. And it makes you feel good.
Always relief when it's not your fault.
I know. And then also it makes you feel good too, because it's like, oh, I'm not the only cemetery that deals with this. Cause they're on a rampage. They're going to get a hold of that cemetery somehow. And it's like, oh, at least I'm not the one that has to deal with the wrath of that.
Correct.
Yeah, exactly. So, but besides that, what we hear from, besides customers calling us, probably the number one thing that I get from other small cemeteries asking us is how to maintain the cemetery, how to figure out if there's any grants or anything, because many, many small cemeteries are running out of money, and how to maintain the cemetery with very small funds. Now, this is a really tough question, and I don't necessarily have the best answer for folks. I don't know what kind of answers you've given to anybody that has asked you that question.
So I've actually dealt with this a little bit recently. There's a small cemetery not far from St. Paul that they're trying to put a fence up, and you know, they're asking me, well, why can't we get grants, this and that? And again, it's not a cemetery that's involved with Minnesota Association of Cemeteries. So I don't have all their information, and you know, they kind of think the superintendent just can make a decision and put up a fence. It's not how it works, as we know. You have to go through a board or the city or whoever you have to answer to. And so it can be very frustrating because it's different than how we do things, right? Like we want to do something, we put it in front of our board. And for us, we're a historical site. So we have to sometimes go through the historical preserve if we want to change our buildings or do stuff like that. So, I mean, there can be just so many tasks and so many different people you have to talk to. And when we don't know much about the cemetery, it's hard to give them a perfect answer. Again, if there was a book, we would love somebody to write one on what to do and how to do it.
Yeah.
But there's not always the right answer out there. The biggest thing for you try to tell the people is, work with the cemetery. Don't try to fight against the cemetery. Because the more you work with the cemetery and the more you're willing to put your time in to help the cemetery solve the problem, then things can go a lot smoother.
Yeah. Now, I think there's a misconception too. I think a lot of many cemeteries that are dealing with these challenges of not having enough money to maintain the cemetery because they're full is typically because there are an older cemetery. And I think there's a misconception of many cemeteries that are older like that think, oh, I should join the Heritage Foundation or become a national, like you've become with, you know, for being how old you are. What would your recommendation be there?
Oh man, that's a tough one. you know, the historical preserve is kind of tough. You know, we redid our building back in 2012, and you know, you have to submit everything. They have to have a say in everything. You know, there's good to it, and there's hard things to it as well, because we had to wait probably 8 months longer than it should have taken, because they had to submit their things on their side, then come to us, say, this is what we want done. You know, then we have to work with the builder, and the builder says, well, I thought we were going to go a different direction, so now we have to change our orders and do all that. So patience is probably the biggest thing, right? But, you know, none of it is easy. You just have to be patient. You have to be willing to work with people.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you obviously... So you're basically, when you're part of those societies, the historical preservation, now you have to, you kind of have to go through some more red tape to get things done in your cemetery. Have you seen it where you can get funds for anything, where there's grants or anything available to you because you're part of that?
Small grants, there has been, available, but we're fortunate enough to where we have, you know, we have set up some Friends of Oakland Cemetery funds and stuff that we need to spend a specific amount of money every year that we set up. But there is grants for like some of the fencing and stuff like that. But again, sometimes it's so much work to go through and get the grant.
Yeah.
And the time spent and actually even, you know, money spent on employees and meetings and things, that you're better off just to maybe take care of it if you can afford it.
Okay.
You know, but that being said, there's good things that come to it too, because we're a historical site. We're a stamp. We're, you know, in there as a historical site. Oakland Cemetery will always be there. You know, started 1853, so it's been around a long time. So,
yeah.
You know, but our job is to just make sure that everything is maintained to the best of our ability as we can. So,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, with you being, I think you're classified as, if not the oldest, one of the oldest cemeteries in our state, in the state of Minnesota. What challenges did that bring to you, Bobby, you know, for Oakland Cemetery? Unique challenges that, I mean, our cemetery was started in 1889, 30 years later. I mean, that, I think we're fairly old, but obviously you being 30 years older, and also the history you have in your cemetery with all the early governors of the state, there's a lot of dignitaries in your cemetery. What challenges does that bring for you in maintaining?
Yeah. So, you know, back then when they started out, a lot of stuff was done in sandstone, limestone, a lot of the monuments. And so deterioration of those monuments, tipping monuments, eroding sections, you know, because we were a cemetery that took anyone and everyone, all denominations. You had money, you didn't have money, you know, we took it. And so we have a lot of areas where it was just one burial after another burial, you know, and just goes by years. And a lot of those sections over time have start to really deteriorate. So we have to go back and fill in holes and level graves out and find sinking markers and deteriorating markers. And, you know, it gets to a point where you try to get a hold of someone that was left in the family and there's no one left and the monument's falling apart. And we just can't leave it up any longer because then it becomes a safety issue.
Yes. Yes. And speaking of that, there's another question that I get frequently, and I've actually seen, I got this question just recently, was cemetery had vandalism, 10, 12 monuments tipped over, old monuments. I don't have any contact information for lot owners because lot owners are deceased. is this the cemeteries? Does the cemetery need to take care of these monuments, or can I even take care of the monuments, or do I need to have a family member take care of the monuments because they're under the pressure, which rightfully so, at least in the state of Minnesota, the monuments are owned by the lot owner.
Yeah, so we've talked about this kind of in length, and I don't know if everybody agrees with how we see it, but if you can fix something, I think you do what you can as a cemetery to fix it and try to make it work. If you can't, you can't get a hold of anybody, there's nobody left, there's nothing you can do, then there's not a whole lot you can do about it. But for a cemetery standpoint, you know, you want to keep and preserve as much as you can. So if you have funds, if you're able to do what you can do, raising it, fixing it, leveling it out, having to glue it back together, as long as it's safe, I think you do try to do as much as you can.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I mean, there's a couple things. A, you're probably not going to find any lot owner. It's probably generations to whoever owns it now, and it's going to be too difficult to even begin to do that. And B, you have to maintain the look of your cemetery. You can't just have monuments just sitting, you know, laying over on its side. And also the safety. There's a safety aspect. I mean, yes, those monuments aren't owned by you as the cemetery, but if a kid or something like that is playing in the cemetery and something falls on them, you better believe it that they're going to come after you. They're not going to go after that lot owner. They're going to come after you as a cemetery. So just for liability's sake, it's one of those things where it's almost pertinent for the cemetery to maintain those stones and monuments.
Yeah, and we had a great question from a smaller cemetery that had some of those problems, and there's no perfect answer to that question,
yeah.
But safety has to come first, no matter what.
Yeah.
If you have to try to set money aside if you can. I know it's not easy for every cemetery because they don't have enough funds coming in, but you have to. Safety has to be the number one priority.
Yeah, let me pick your brain a little bit, Bobby, since you come from, you know, the monument side of things. What are something that you, as a person who works in a cemetery, should be aware of to look at on old monuments? What's the first thing to go? Is there a seal between the die and the base, or the base and the foundation? What's typically the things that happen first with a monument that needs to be addressed?
Yeah, well, what we start to see a lot of is in the old days, they used to set monuments with just lead.
Oh, yeah.
And they used to put lead all the way around. Well, over time, water gets under there. It freezes. We're in Minnesota, and you'd be surprised at the size of monuments that can move with a little water and some ice. So that's a big thing. And then a lot of our old limestone, sandstone monuments, they use shale as the foundations. And so that can deteriorate pretty easily. So, you know, we look for that stuff big time, and we'll pull a monument off and dig it down to where it's more level. And if we have to drill some holes and pour some new cement, we will. Or if we can dig it down and, you know, safely set it back on there, so it's still standing and it's level and it's good and we're okay with safety wise, we will do that. But that's, you know, some of the big things that we see with old stones and even granite ones, like I said, being set on those, the lead all the way around. It just, with water getting in there, water can do a lot of damage. So then we try to jack it up, put it on a little bit of lead and either seal it up with a silicone or a caulk or a setting compound, whatever we can do to make it safe.
Yeah, and that brings up a couple questions from what you said there. Now, this is obviously a unique thing from us in the Midwest with having frost. We talked about this a little bit, how we have foundations for our monuments that have to go down below the frost line. So we didn't, then the monuments would heave with the frost. So this is a little bit unique to us. But when you find those old shale foundations, like you were saying, how do you dig down and then you drill holes into that shale, and do you put rebar or what do you put into to reinforce that?
Yep. Some type of a rebar, pins, whatever we can do, stainless steel pins if we need to, But rebar is probably the best thing you can put in there.
Okay.
And, you know, then put some type of an adhesive between the concrete that you're pouring and the shale to put it back so that it's adheres to each other so it will be stable again.
Now, is that some kind of, like, there's, you could see, find things at Home Depot or any big box store that's like adhering if you were to put cement on top of cement, but you need to paint this stuff on first so that the cement can adhere to each other, something like that?
Yeah, a lot of hardware, you know, the big box stores, a lot of that stuff has it. Any hardware store will have something that has a concrete adhered to another concrete, something in that nature. Again, it all rolls back to the safety issue. What's going to be the safest thing we can do? Because you don't want to put a Band-Aid on it, because we know that in Minnesota with our frost that you put a Band-Aid on and then you could be doing the same thing a year later.
Yep, exactly.
You know, we see crazy things like, you know, we have a few roads that have sewer covers in the middle of the road. And this time of year, all of a sudden the sewer cover is like pushing out of the road.
Yep.
And then in a month from now, it'll be right back to where it was.
Like, yeah.
It's just wild what frost can do.
Yeah, it is.
The way it pushes things up and down.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. But the other thing you were mentioning about is how they used to use lead to get the foundations of the monument level. Now, is there a concern there with the lead? Because obviously, all of our cemeteries probably have lead under a lot of our old monuments. Is there a concern of that getting out, kids getting a hold of it or whatnot? Is there any safety concerns there?
I don't think there is as much anymore. Like the old lead that they used was very thin, and it was almost like a bead around the outside, and it was just to keep it level.
Okay.
And you would be amazed, because, you know, obviously back in the day they didn't have the equipment they do now to make a nice flush bottom to a lot of those monuments, so you can tell where it was like kind of shaved down on the ends, but the middle is like a little deeper and rough in there. And so the biggest thing that, you know, we need to do is you know, a cemetery or a monument company is clean those up and fill everything in so that water can't get back in to do the damage that it can.
Yeah. Okay. Now, interesting stuff. I'm learning a lot here too, but going with some other questions that we get more frequently questions. One of them is updating lots. That's for sure one of the questions that we get from many, many smaller cemeteries in the state of Minnesota, at least. What happens when Joe Schmo comes in and says, hey, great-great-grandpa had a lot in the cemetery. There's a grave open next to it. It's under his name. Who owns that lot now, and what do you do with it? And there's a lot of horror stories that I hear from cemeteries, and they just give it to whoever comes forward, basically. We're so fortunate, I think, in the state of Minnesota that there is very clear state statutes on who inherits a cemetery property when somebody dies. It's very, very clear. I don't think that's the case in states around the country here, but in Minnesota it is very clear. It's just that you have to follow those statutes. There's many times I'm hearing from smaller cemeteries in the state where they just gave it to whomever came forward because they didn't know that there was a state statute, and B, even if they did, they didn't know how to follow the state statute. Can you expound upon that a little bit, Bobby, and how it's so important to make sure you follow statutes?
Yeah, so I mean, it can be kind of wild how it goes about. I think it was 1935 they had a change, and then again in 1981 they had a change. Yeah. But the biggest thing is sometimes these families think, well, because that's my great grandpa, I should get it. And if they passed away, especially after 1981, I mean, it can go to a completely opposite side of the family.
Yep.
That has nothing to do with anyone in the state of Minnesota. But it, because Minnesota has such, I don't want to say stingy, but it's a clear cut statute that's how it is and that's it.
Yeah.
And it can be frustrating, but it makes it easier for all involved because it's spelled out for you.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough to make the mistakes of, well, no, you can have it because you are related.
Yeah.
Well, unless it's in trust, that's not how it works.
So in this, in, if you're listening and you're outside the state of Minnesota, how our laws go here is when, so this is post 1981. If somebody passes away and they own that lot, it goes to their oldest surviving child with this, if you're survived by a spouse, the spouse has a right, an heir to the lot. The spouse has a right to the lot to be buried there, but the ownership goes to the oldest surviving child. There's some confusion there. But then if there is no children, it goes to the youngest surviving sibling, which this is where it gets really confusing for folks. Like if there's a middle child, they don't understand why the next, it, instead of the oldest child, why it doesn't go then to the middle child, or goes back to the middle child of the, I don't know how to explain that a little bit better, but people get, it just goes to somebody that somebody didn't want it to go to, and they get always get upset. But unfortunately, we have to follow those state laws clearly, because if we have a family that comes back and says, hey, I had right to that lot and you buried somebody there, the cemetery is liable for that and could get into trouble with that.
Yeah, I mean, that's huge, right? Again, like we talked about, if, you know, John Smith is the great-grandson of, you know, Victor Smith, he thinks he gets the lot, and it actually goes over to, you know, Fred Smith, who's in California, has nothing to do with it. They get upset and they say, well, he doesn't want it. Well, that doesn't matter if he wants it or not. It
yeah.
still goes to him, and he has to sign off on that. Well, I can't get a hold of him. Well, there's not much we can do about that. Now, obviously, they can sign affidavits and stuff like that stating that they can't. You know, there's nobody left or stuff like that, but there's still always a chance that someone could come and say, no, this is mine, not, you know, Joe, John Smith or whatever. So, you have to follow those guidelines to a T, and you, I mean, you know, as well as I do, people get really upset with us on that.
Oh yeah.
But you know, our hands are tied. I mean, it's clearly states it. So.
Yeah. Now I hope now talking about Minnesota state law, I hope that everybody is listening to this podcast while trying to go to sleep, because we probably just put you to sleep pretty quickly there with Minnesota state law. But it is one of the questions that we get so often from folks. So it's something to go over. And which is unique here too, is once if there's no children, there's no surviving siblings, there's no spouse, then under Minnesota state law says it goes back to the cemetery to be able to determine in this, who it can go to. So this is where the cemetery then is able to kind of give permission to other folks to be buried in that lot. And I don't know, it's good to probably have some sort of policy in place. How do you handle that when it goes to the cemetery and you have a family member that comes to you and says, I want to be buried there?
When it gets to that point, that's when that we have them sign an affidavit,
yep.
and stating that we've done all the research. There's nobody left. There's nobody here. And again, you know, say there's hasn't been activity in 30 years in the lot, whatever. We just have to cover ourselves, because if there is just that one person that comes out of the woodwork that is the rightful owner of the lot, we have to be covered some way. So we would have them sign an affidavit.
Yeah.
You know, stating that they've done everything. There's nobody left. There's no other siblings here. I am the only blood relative left. And go on from there.
Yeah. And that's the way we handle it too. We also look at it and try to figure out, well, how close, what type of relative are you to the last lot owner? Are you, a niece, a nephew, because the sibling died prior to the lot owner, so there was no surviving, you know, niece or there was no surviving sibling, so there could be nieces and nephews. If there's niece and nephews and a niece wants to be able to be buried in that lot, we make sure that we get signed off from all nieces and nephews, that same ring of people, that's all right with them as well, because they should have the same right to that grave as that one niece. That's the way we look at it.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, you know, this can be a bothersome task and it can be hard for the families, but it's clear cut and the statute states everything. And so as tough as it is sometimes, it's so great for us in Minnesota because we have it written out.
Yeah.
And we don't have to sit and play games and try to figure things out. It's just, it's this and that's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, we've kind of come to that time, Bobby. I'm so happy that my voice has held out. I had a cold this last weekend and I was a little nervous that my voice is going to fall apart throughout this podcast. Let's hope that this whole recording, you being in Florida, me being in Minnesota, has worked out. I think it's going to work out just fine. We'll get it posted on Friday. Hopefully people found good value in this podcast. Excited to have you back home next week, Bobby. You're ready to be back and see some snow?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm excited to enjoy the sun here for a few more days before I have to come back and deal with the snow. But it'll be good to be home. We all know that it's better when you're sleeping in your own bed, but time away is time away.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. And again, so this is another thing. We now have a new email address. If anybody wants to get a hold of us, you can email us at info@thecemeterychronicles.com. I know there's a couple words there, cemetery and chronicles, they're tough to spell, but just Google that. Thecemeterychronicles.com, info@thecemeterychronicles.com. Shoot us an email. We'll love to have, I think we should have this periodically where we have a episode where we just answer emailers' questions. I think that would be fun. So shoot us any questions that you guys have. Perfect. Well, you have a good night, Bobby. We'll talk to you everybody later, and we'll see you next week.
All right. Sounds good. Make sure you go shovel my driveway.
Yeah, right.
Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to our podcast so you are notified when new shows are posted. If you would like to get a hold of us, please email us at info@thecemeterychronicles.com.
Hey, everybody. Dominic here. When it comes to honoring a life well lived, every detail matters. That's why Paradise Pictures has been crafting premium fire porcelain on steel portraits since 1991, built to last a lifetime and guaranteed against any damage. Whether it's monuments, markers, crypts, or glass front niches, Paradise Pictures offers a full suite of personalized memorialization solutions, including elegant bronze frames. As a proud member of Minnesota Association of Cemeteries, they believe samples sell products, so they're offering you a free sample just for listening. Visit ParadisePictures.com or call 1-800-960-8040 to request yours today. Paradise Pictures, preserving memories beautifully.